الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respecting the Masjid. Attar's Dua. O Lord of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whoever reads or listens to the 21-page booklet respecting the Masjid, make them from those who love and respect Masjids. Also grant them, their parents and family members, forgiveness without accountability. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O people, indeed the person who shall be quickly saved from the terrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment will be he who recited the most salat upon me from amongst you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Our purpose in this world. In verse 115 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah declared, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. So do you think that we have created you in vain and that you are not to return to us? On page 647 of Maktabatul Madina's translation of the Quran entitled Kanzul Iman Ma'a Khazain al-Irfan, the elite scholar of Quran, Allama Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayh, comments on this verse. Will you not have to arise for recompense in the hereafter? We in fact created you for worship and made this obligatory upon you. We have made it so you shall return to us in the hereafter and receive recompense for your deeds. Dear Islamic brothers, we should all be working towards achieving the true objective of our lives. Alongside this, we should also try our absolute best to avoid sin in the process and perform good deeds. We can also keep watching Madani Channel, as watching its programs with good intentions and encouraging others to do the same is a way to please Allah and earn paradise. Also, always keep death in mind. When it suddenly strikes, even a newly wedded couple are taken away from each other. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Stamping on the floor of a masjid is forbidden. The reviver of Islam and Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, had immense enthusiasm for calling others to righteousness. He would never miss an opportunity to do this. One successor of the great Imam was Mufti Zafaruddin Bihari rahmatullahi alayh, who explains the following story. A person known as Nawab Sahib came to the masjid to offer salah. Once inside, he casually threw his walking stick upon the floor. Other attendees in the masjid heard the sound of this. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi said, Nawab Sahib, even taking loud steps in the masjid is forbidden, let alone dropping a stick so forcefully. In my presence, Nawab Sahib said, Insha'Allah, I will not do this again. May Allah have mercy on Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Keep your mobile phone on silent in the masjid. Dear Islamic brothers, it is a must for every Muslim to honor the masjid. Ensure you do not make excessive noise when even walking in the masjid. Also, take care in regards to walking sticks, umbrellas, shoes, bags, and anything else. No noise should be made in the masjid by these things being thrown around. If anyone brings a mobile phone in, they should keep it on silent mode. With great regret, nobody pays attention to this. Even in Masjid al-Haram, that too during tawaf of the Holy Kaaba itself, mobile phones ring loudly. Some of them even have music blaring ma'azallah. These songs and music remains impermissible inside and outside the masjid. 19 Madani Pearls about masjids. Turning our attention to the honor and respect of masjid, we will now discuss some Madani Pearls of knowledge extracted from the first volume of Blessings of Sunnah, directly related to this beautiful topic. These have been slightly changed and amended from the original text. Kindly take these on board as we discuss them and keep these points in mind. Number one, it is narrated how a masjid once went to the court of Allah to complain about people engaging in worldly conversations inside it. Some angels met it on the way and said, "We have been sent to destroy them," i.e. the people who engage in worldly conversations inside the masjid. Number two, another narration describes how a bad smell emanates from the mouths of people who backbite and engage in worldly conversation in a masjid. Angels even complain about them to Allah. Subhanallah. These are the severe consequences if a person engages in simply sin-free, permissible conversation in a masjid. Now imagine the severity of saying something haram or impermissible. Number three, a tailor is not allowed to sew clothes in a masjid. However, he can do so if the basic purpose of his stay is to monitor children and take care of the masjid. Similarly, a writer cannot do paid work in a masjid. Number four, never throw any type of rubbish inside a masjid. The hadith expert Abdul Haq Dehlvi rahmatullahi alayhi reports in Jazb al Qulub, if a small particle or speck finds its way into a masjid, this causes it as much pain as a human feels when something is in their eye. Number five, spitting on the masjid walls, floor, and above or below its mats is forbidden. The same applies to blowing the nose, taking something out of one's ear or nose and putting it onto a part of the masjid, and playing with threads or parts of the masjid mats. Number six, there is no harm in blowing the nose into a handkerchief in the masjid if necessary. Number seven, if the masjid is swept and any dust or dirt etc. from it is collected, this should not be kept in a place of disrespect. Number eight, if you want to take your shoes with you into a masjid, shake them free from dirt outside before. If there is dust on the soles of your feet, wipe it off with something like a handkerchief before entering. Take care not to bring even a speck of dust into the masjid. Number nine, after performing wuzu in a masjid, dry your feet properly there and then. Walking into a masjid with wet feet makes the floor dirty and displeasing to look at. Some etiquette of the masjid described by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh are now presented here. Number 10. When in a masjid, running or walking in a manner that produces excess sound is not allowed. Number 11. After performing wudu, do not let even a single drop of water drip from your washed body parts onto the masjid floor. Letting drops of water drip onto the masjid floor from body parts washed in wudu is impermissible and a sin. Number 12. Whenever you go from one part of the masjid to the other, for example, from the courtyard to the inner portion or vice versa, place your right foot first. If prayer mats are laid out, step onto them with your right foot first. Even when walking off them and onto the floor of the masjid, ensure to use your right foot again. I.e. whilst walking, coming and going, step onto every row of prayer mats with your right foot first. Likewise, when an orator steps onto the pulpit, he should place his right foot on it first. When coming off it, he should again use his right foot. Number 13. If you sneeze or cough in a masjid, try to keep the sound as low as possible. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam disliked the sound of loud sneezing in the masjid. Similarly, one should also suppress their burp. If it is not possible to do this, one should keep its sound as low as possible, whether or not he is in the masjid. Care should also be taken in this regard whilst one is present in a gathering or before a respected religious personality, as it is a bad etiquette. In a hadith, a person burped in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, to which it was declared, "Keep your belching far from us, as those who fill their stomachs for a long period in the world shall remain hungry for a long period on the day of judgment." One should not make a sound whilst yawning, whether in a masjid or anywhere else. This is because yawning is the laughter of Satan. As the onset of a yawn, try your best to keep your mouth closed. When a person opens his mouth to yawn, Satan spits into it. If the yawning cannot be suppressed, press your upper teeth against your lower. If it is not stifled in this manner either, try and prevent your mouth opening too much and place the back of your left hand over your mouth. These lengths are taken because yawning is from Satan, and the Prophets alayhi salam are protected from this. If you begin to yawn, think to yourself that the Prophets alayhi salam never did this. Insha'Allah, the yawn will come to an end immediately. Number 14. Fooling around is forbidden generally and is especially impermissible in a masjid. Number 15. Laughter in the masjid is forbidden, as this brings darkness in one's grave. However, there is no harm in smiling when appropriate. Number 16. Do not throw anything onto the masjid floor, but instead place it gently. In summer, people often use handheld fans and then throw them onto the floor of the masjid, producing sound. This should be avoided. Also, do not throw a cap, shawl or handkerchief, etc., inside a masjid in a way that makes loud sounds. Some people carelessly cast sticks and umbrellas, etc., onto the masjid floor, producing sounds. This is not allowed. Respecting a masjid is obligatory for every Muslim. Number 17. Breaking wind in a masjid is prohibited. Those who are not in itikaf should go out if necessary. People in itikaf should eat less food and keep their stomachs light. In this way, they will not break wind except when answering the call of nature. They will not be allowed to leave the masjid for this, but they can use toilet area within the masjid precincts to break wind. Number 18. Pointing one's feet towards the Qibla is forbidden anywhere and everywhere. One should also not stretch their legs outwards in the masjid, as this conflicts with required manners. The Honourable Saint Sari al-Saqati rahmatullahi alayhi was once sitting in the masjid alone with outstretched legs. Suddenly he heard a voice from a corner of the masjid, "Sari, do you sit in this manner in the court of kings?" He immediately pulled his legs back and did not stretch them out again until the day he passed away. Take care even when showing affection to babies by picking them up and laying them down, that their feet do not face the Qibla. It is also necessary that they are not sat down facing or with their back to Qibla when answering the call of nature. Number 19. Entering a masjid whilst wearing used shoes is disrespectful. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A cancer patient finds cure. Alhamdulillah, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have bestowed abundant grace upon Dawat-e-Islami. Numerous instances have occurred in which patients suffering from diseases declared incurable by doctors were cured by the blessings of travelling in Madani qafilas and making dua during them. Below is a summarized version of a beautiful incident related to this topic. An Islamic brother from Hawke's Bay, Karachi, Pakistan was suffering from cancer. He proceeded to travel in one of Dawat-e-Islami's Madani qafilas. He appeared dejected and withdrawn throughout the journey. Devotees of the Messenger of Allah comforted and supplicated for him. While sitting one morning, he suddenly vomited a piece of flesh and felt great relief afterwards. Returning from the Madini Qafila, he consulted a doctor and had medical tests repeated. Much to the astonishment of all, reports showed he had been cured from cancer. Alhamdulillahi ala ihsanihi. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 5 Madini pearls about unwell travellers in Madini Qafilas. Dear Islamic brothers, Allah bestowed cure upon a cancer patient by the blessings of a Madani qafila. Here are 5 Madani pearls about unwell travellers in Madani qafilas. 1. In reality, only Allah is Shafiul Amraz, the curer of diseases. Everyone is aware of the fact that even the most senior and experienced doctors sometimes treat a patient and prescribe the best medicines, but this does nothing except increase the illness until they eventually pass away. If any unwell people are not cured during a Madani qafila, One should not fall prey to satanic whispers. Number two, neither make unwell people who may cause aversion or trouble to others travel with Madani qafilas, nor perform itikaf. A cancer patient once attended itikaf in Karachi's central Fizan-e Madina. Thousands of Islamic brothers attend itikaf there and are grouped in circles. The Islamic brother suffering from cancer joined one of them. When others partook in meals at the time of suhoor and iftar, the unwell brother would only sit with them and not eat, as the cancer in his mouth and throat left him unable to eat entirely. No doubt he deserved heartfelt sympathy, but one can surely understand how uneasy other Islamic brothers would have felt around him. If a person unable to eat anything sits and looks at others as they eat, anyone with common sense can understand how uncomfortable this can make someone. Number three, some patients have severely infected wounds which ooze pus and smell bad. People suffering from this deserve the highest echelons of sympathy and care. However, their illness becomes a cause of trouble for others. They should neither attend itikaf nor travel with Madani qafilas. According to Sharia, it is also haram to enter a masjid in this condition, as bad smells harm both the Muslims in attendance and angels. Number four, someone who needs a urine or facial bag, suffers from leprosy or constantly releases saliva should neither attend itikaf nor travel with Madani qafilas. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes in the 24th volume of Fatawa al-Razaviya, a woman suffering from leprosy was performing tawaf of the Kaaba. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, exclaimed, "O servant of Allah, do not cause others trouble. It is better for you to stay at home." Number five, those afflicted by psychological disorders or under the influence of jinn, such that they have seizures, cry out, flail around and inadvertently disrespect the masjid and disturb others, should also be made to stay away from the masjid and Madani qafilas. Instead of making such patients travel with Madani qafilas or attend itikaf, a representative of theirs should travel on their behalf and make dua for them. With good intentions, it is also possible for such a patient or their family members to pay travel expenses for Islamic brothers to travel in 3, 12 or 30 day Madani qafilas. This can even be done for those that last 12 or 25 months. These representatives of the unwell person will continue to make dua for the patient. Allah will have mercy and bestow him with cure. Money for this should only be deposited with a qafila responsible person designated by Dawat-e-Islami. They will ensure travel is undertaken in accordance with organizational procedures. If you give money to just anyone, it is not necessary that he will travel on your behalf. They may even return before the Madani qafila is complete. Bear in mind, no one should unreasonably hurt the feelings of someone unwell. One should visit him, stay in his company and inquire after his health. Let's say a Madani qafila is staying in a house, etc., instead of a masjid, and someone suffering from an illness which may cause aversion to others wants to attend. If all other attendees unanimously agree, the unwell person can take part in the Madani qafila without any issue. However, it should still be considered whether other Islamic brothers coming from outside will be hesitant to come or be troubled if they do so. There is remedy for every disease. Dear Islamic brothers, cancer is a deadly disease and considered incurable. This is not actually true. As per a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "There is remedy for every disease. When the remedy reaches the disease, the unwell are made well by the command of Allah. There is medicine for every illness except old age and death. It is a separate matter to say medical experts have not found a cure. For certain diseases yet, instead of saying there is no medicine for so and so disease, it is better to say we don't have a cure for this yet, or scientists have not yet been able to discover any cure for it. Medicine only results in cure when Allah wills. Otherwise, it is quite possible that the same medicine can cause death. On occasion, proper medicine prescribed by an expert doctor causes inadvertent negative reaction in a patient, resulting in further severity of disease, disability, or death. Then, due to people's ignorance, the doctor faces all kinds of accusations and trouble. It is very far-fetched to think he would cause intentional physical harm or kill a patient. Obviously, if he does so, he will become famous for the wrong reasons and people will avoid being treated by him. Secret behind receiving a cure. Commenting on a hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes the following in the 6th volume of Mirat Sharai Mishkat, reporting from the author of Mirqat. When Allah does not will for the curing of a particular illness, He causes an obstruction between the medicine and the illness through an angel, due to which the medicine does not affect the illness. When He wills to give cure, the obstruction is removed and medicine ameliorates the illness. Spiritual treatment for cancer. An Islamic brother told this servant of Medina, Afi Anhu, how his uncle had abdominal cancer. Whilst being treated for this, someone gave him a piece of paper with something written on it. The writing described how a certain person once had terminal cancer and gave up all hope of life. Someone suggested he recite selected verses from different surahs of the Quran. He began reciting them on a daily basis with a sincere heart. By the grace of Allah, his condition began to improve. After reciting them for a few years, his cancer was eradicated and he was completely cured. The Islamic brother's uncle also started reciting these verses as per the guidelines given in the paper. Alhamdulillah, at the time of writing, his condition is also improving amazingly. He thanked Allah and had 2,000 copies of that paper printed as beautiful cards with the intention of benefiting Muslims by distributing them for free. If a patient recites these verses with the intention of gaining strength for worship, with firm belief, he will not be disappointed. Duration of treatment until the disease is cured. Recite the following verses once daily with salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam three times at the beginning and end. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa nunazzilu minal qur'ani ma huwa shifaa'un wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين أني مغلوب فانتصر لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين إن ربي على كل شيء حفيظ حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا أليس الله بكاف عبده هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير الحمد لله رب العالمين نعم المولى ونعم النصير فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. The sunnah of drinking with one's right hand. Dear Islamic brothers, without any shadow of doubt, staying in the company of a practicing scholar benefits one's hereafter greatly. The renowned hadith expert of Pakistan, Mawlana Sardar Ahmad Qadiri Rahmatullahi Alayh, was one of these righteous scholars. His habit was to rectify people whenever he noticed they had left a sunnah. One of his students relates, in 1373 AH, during our hadith studies, we were being given a lesson on Sahih Muslim when a person brought tea for the students of Darul Hadith. The tea began to be distributed at the end of the lesson, as per instructions from Mawlana Sardar Ahmad. When it was my turn, I poured some tea and proceeded to draw it closer to my mouth with my left hand. The voice of Mawlana Sardar Ahmad then resonated in Darul Hadith. Mawlana, he explained, you are drinking with your left hand. I put the cup down, changed hands and began to drink with my right. When I began to pour more tea for myself, the Sheikh called out again, "Maulana, you are pouring tea with your left hand." I put down the cup, picked it up with my right hand, and began drinking. Smilingly, Maulana Sardar Ahmed said the following words, "Tayyib, tayyib, good, good." Even now, when I sit alone and recall this incident, the sound of "Tayyib, tayyib" resonates in my ears and tears well up in my eyes. Eating, drinking, giving and taking with the left hand is a practice of Satan. Dear Islamic brothers, one can understand the love Mawlana Sardar Ahmad Rahmatullahi Alayhi had for the Sunnah from this story. If only we all called to righteousness in the same way and propagated the Sunnah wholeheartedly. The incident is also a reminder of the prohibition of drinking tea with the left hand, based on a hadith which contains prohibition against eating and drinking with the left hand. It is reported in the first volume of Maktabatul Madina's published book entitled Blessings of Sunnah. The companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Each of you should eat with the right hand, drink with the right hand, take with the right hand, and give with the right hand. Because Satan eats with the left hand, drinks with the left hand, gives with the left hand, and takes with the left hand." Why is the left hand used in actions? Dear Islamic brothers, we are so absorbed in this world that unfortunately we do not pay attention to the beautiful sunnah of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A hadith explains, certainly Satan circulates inside the human being like the flowing of blood. It is obvious that Satan will not let us follow the sunnah. He is always attempting to misguide us. It is often observed that though people eat with the right hand, they pick up a few grains with the left one as well. Another common observation is that since the right hand is stained with food because of eating with it, most people drink water with the left hand. When tea is served to people, they hold the handle in the left hand and simply touch their right hand to the cup itself. When someone serves water to others, he holds the jug with his right hand and offers a glass of water to others with his left. It is stated on page 374 of the book Hayate Muhaddithi Azam that Mawlana Sardar Ahmad Qadiri Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, "One should make a habit of giving and taking things with his right hand. This habit should be so firm that one's right hand spontaneously stretches out to receive one's book of deeds when presented to him on the day of judgment. A person will then attain salvation." Ya ilahi namae amal jab khulne lage, aib poshe khalke sattare khata ka saath ho. Meanings of difficult words. Aib poshe khalk, concealer of the faults of creation. Sattare khata, concealer of sins. Explanation of this couplet. The revival of Islam and Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has mentioned in the first line of this couplet, Namay Amal Jab Khulne Lage. There is an interesting reason for using the word Lage instead of Lage. If he had utilized the latter, the meaning would have been when my book of deeds is going to be opened. Whereas his wish is that his book of deeds is not even opened and he is forgiven without accountability. He then wrote lagain. Instead, this makes the couplet mean, "O Allah, may my book of deeds never be opened. May it instead be consigned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whom you have made a concealer of sins. If you grant me this grace, then his benevolence will hide my acts of disobedience." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.